Hello, Sophia here. I'm wondering if you've ever been curious about what it's like to work with a fashion stylist, or what a sex club is like for someone in a fat body, or what are the weight neutral approaches to PCOS treatment, or what I thought about the Aubrey Gordon Your Fat Friend film. Well, over on the Fat Joy newsletter, I am sharing these personal stories and practical strategies for living in our diet culture world. When you subscribe for free, you'll get an email from me about twice per month. I'm also recording video conversations with incredible fat people as well as amazing fat allies. And I want to share these people with you. So if you want some more Fat Joy, please go to fatjoy.substack.com. That is Fatjoy, FATJOY dot Substack, SUBSTACK.com. And subscribe to get all of this Fat Joy goodness in your inbox. Okay. Enjoy the rest of the episode. Hello, lovelies. Welcome to the Fat Joy podcast, where we talk each week about how to flourish in an anti-fat world. I'm Sophia Apostle, a fat professional coach who loves talking to other fat people about what it's like to live within oppressive systems that marginalize our bodies and how we still dare to have the audacity and courage to reach towards our collective liberation and embrace our joy. Please know this is an adult content podcast, so there will be swears. We will be talking about harms we've experienced, and we will be rebelling against weight stigma, diet culture, fat phobia, ableism, racism, et cetera. You can get more Fat Joy goodness, including how you can support the podcast through my newsletter at fatjoy.substack.com. And for episode transcripts, book reviews, and show notes, head to the Fat Joy website at fatjoy.life. I am so glad you're here. Enjoy this episode. Hello, lovelies. Welcome back to the Fat Joy podcast. I'm Sophia, and I have such a fun episode for you today. Today, I am with Mel Tufts and Emma Deacon. Hello, Mel. Hello, Emma.
Hi.
Yay. So, Mel and Emma are the two incredible genius/goddess/artist
Oh,
people,
please go on.
please go on. Oh, I will. Who took me through my boudoir photo shoot last week. And we're talking a week later to explore the experience. And also just, I think I've always been fascinated by boudoir photography, why so many people are scared of it. And I'm so excited to get to talk to both of you about just what it is, how we can all kind of reclaim our bodies through it, or not, I mean, not all, but a lot of us could benefit from it, what my experience was like. And yeah, we're just gonna get into it. These two are a riot, so I'm gonna stop talking. Emma, do you want to start us off? Tell us who you are.
Sure. So that is, of course, the hardest question I feel to answer because we never want to come off selfish, right? However, hi, I'm fantastic. My name is Emma. So I'm the owner of Bare Bones Beauty. It is a hair salon located in Brantford that is genderless. So we're super cool that way. I also work with Mel as her HMUA, so hair and makeup artist for everything boudoir. I'm 29 going on 30, and I've been in the hair industry for the last like 8-ish years and had a boudoir relationship with Mel for the last probably close to 7, 8 years now.
Amazing. And you have opened up your own place, which is so exciting because now you're a badass boss.
Thank you. Yeah. It's been a long time coming, but everybody who has been with me as a client, especially up until recently, has been like, this was the calling. This is the way you should have been the whole time. I'm so proud of you. It's been like such a good experience.
Oh, I love that, Emma. Thank you. Awesome. All right, Mel, who are you?
Well, I'm Mel Tufts. I'm 45, living in a beautiful home in Ingersoll with my husband, three kids, and our very fat, spoiled cat. I have a background in fine art and graphic design, IT, office management, you name it, I've done it. And I distilled everything down to boudoir photography about 10 years ago, after I had my last child and needed to stay at home. I have two neuroatypical kids, and it just got to be too much being in and out of the house all the time. So my husband and I agreed I could follow my heart. I'm so privileged that I have him to support me in this. And so I did. And I tried different genres of photography, and boudoir just stole my heart and the women that came into my life as a result of it. And so here we are, changing lives and making everybody feel beautiful. And it's my joy.
Yeah. Oh, I love that, Mel. And for listeners, Ingersoll and Brantford are in Ontario, Canada, because we actually have people like all over the world, which is pretty amazing, listening to this podcast. So hello, everyone not in Canada. Thank you for listening. So Mel, I'm trying to remember, did I reach out to you or did you reach out to me? I forget how we connected.
Well, that's an interesting story, because I am so incredibly thorough in everything I do. It's kind of a problem in that I was curating my social media. I really wanted to distill it all down to the really important, really special, fat supportive people, and get rid of all that garbage that just made me feel like shit. And I was like, well, if I'm doing this for me, why don't I do it for everybody else at the same time? So I created a directory that's on my website of different people on Instagram that I followed that made me feel fabulous. And then I slowly started, well, not slowly, because Instagram stopped me and said I was spamming people. I very quickly started sending emails out asking for permission. Can I have you on my directory? And this is what I'm doing. Can I have you? Because for me, consent is really important. And yes, it's a public area, but it's still your, you know, your pictures, your family, your feed. So I was like, maybe I just need to take an extra step. And I got to the podcast, thankfully, before Instagram said, stop spamming people. And then you reached back out to me and was like, yes, absolutely. I would love to be in your directory. And can we have a podcast together? So that's how it started.
Oh, I love it. Thank you for that reminder. As soon as you said it, because my brain is, I have aphantasia, so I'm actually kind of, I've got a bit of an atypical brain too. And as soon as you said it, then I remembered. I was like, oh yeah, right. I remember getting that message. And yeah, I was so excited and love that you said yes. And then you also said, hey, how about you come and do a boudoir shoot also so that we can talk about the whole experience. And that's how I ended up naked in your house. Which we will get to. How's that for a teaser, people? It was pretty good, right? So I want to start a little pulled back and just to really honor your own experiences as fat people moving through the world. Emma, what is your relationship to the word fat? Has it changed over the years? How do you embody it now? Emma's face.
I'm
just
gonna start crying. Here we go.
Oh my God, I love tears. I usually cry almost every episode or tear up. So yay, tears.
Okay. My relationship to the word fat. Funny enough, Mel and I talked about this in salon, like literally last week. Whenever her and I get together, our brains just like explode with all the ideas and then we have nowhere to put them. I think I have, I mean, I'm sure everybody has a very unique, you know, relationship to the word. Myself, only being 29, I think I have matured a lot quicker when it comes to that phrase and that term, which a lot of people my age still can't get there yet from what I've been told. So my relationship with the word started out pretty shameful, I think, as most people do, where it's totally used as a derogatory term, totally used as something to make you feel bad, put you down, whatever it may be. And that went all the way up until like my university years. I don't know if we can use this or if this is appropriate, but I never say I'm a victim, but I was essayed basically when I was in university, and that completely changed my life as well as completely changed my thought with the word of being fat, because there was this thing that kind of happened where I've been taught to not like my body for so long, but now somebody used my body against me, if that makes sense. So after all that, I think up until literally I was like 21, 22, I still kind of had a lot of that shame, a lot of that guilt. I tried the diets. I tried everything like that. And I did not like the word fat. I couldn't feel comfortable saying plus size even. I just kind of felt like I needed to be body neutral. Like I didn't want anybody to talk about this. You can talk about here. You can talk about what's in here, but you can't talk about this down.
Yeah. Neck down. Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I kind of was with it up until honestly meeting Mel. And this is not to, you know, make her seem amazing, even though she is. But she was the first person who started to make me feel like I was allowed to be comfortable in my own skin. And I was allowed to, oh, here we go.
Right. I got it too. We're all crying.
And I was allowed to claim back my sexuality as well. And instead of feeling like I had to wear armor all the time, I could just be myself. And that was like the coolest, most honorable, most selfish in a good way thing that I've ever done for myself. And ever since then, I now wear crop tops and I now wear very tight dresses, and I dress my size for sure, but I also dress my age. Being 29, I should be able to wear these things. I should be able to feel good about myself. You should be able to do it at any age, mind you, but especially being in my 20s, why the hell not? And honestly, if it wasn't for Mel being in my life and me doing boudoir, I wouldn't have that confidence to do it.
Oh, Emma, that's amazing.
I hope that wasn't too long.
No. Oh my gosh. No, it was beautiful. And I am going to say SAID means sexually assaulted. I just want to, in case anyone doesn't know that acronym. So thank you for sharing that. I'll do a little content. I always do a content note in the episode notes if there's mention of, you know, specific weights or sexual assault or anything like that, so people can know. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. That's really, really impactful. That's really impactful. Yeah. Well, and I remember, well, and when I was there, when I was talking to you both around, like, I think it was you who told me that a number, like, it's actually pretty common for people to come to boudoir photography as a way to, like, reclaim body, reclaim agency over their own bodies after there's been a sexual assault or trauma of any kind. And I just think that Emma, like, you're such a beautiful example of that, of how impactful that, and I imagine some other stuff, but certainly that was like in helping you kind of come back to yourself. I'm so glad you found each other.
I honestly couldn't live without her now at this point. She is like my serious, like, rock goddess mermaid. I love her so much. She makes me so happy, and she reminds me to, like, be myself on a regular basis.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Emma. Oh my gosh. I love it. I love it so much.
Girl, if you're not crying, I'm going to smack you.
Oh, holding it in. All right, Mel, tell us about your relationship with the word fat. How has this word shown up in your life over the years?
Well, I've had a little bit more time to think about it than Emma. And I didn't really know how far back I should go. My mind went all the way back to childhood when I was introduced to body shaming, but it wasn't the word fat that was used. It was the word chubby. And it was chosen as a nickname for me by someone who was in our religious congregation. An older gentleman had decided that chubby was my nickname. And at the time, I knew it was a derogatory name. being only 3 or 4 years old. I had pieced this together. I didn't like it. He knew that I didn't like it. My parents knew that I didn't like it. And at 3 or 4 years old, I figured out that I was the one that needed to put a stop to it. So I put him on the spot in front of the entire congregation, and he never did it again. So that's kind of who I have been from the beginning. Growing up in the 70s, 80s, 90s, there wasn't a lot of support for people in fat bodies. The one protection that I did have was my proximity to whiteness, which I need to acknowledge. As a person of color, I am very fair-skinned. I didn't have that against me the way that my aunties and other relatives did. And so I kind of just felt like I needed to endure and pick my battles and suck it up, because it wasn't as bad as what they were going through. Now, keep in mind, they all had slim bodies, so they didn't have that against them. But in my mind, and I think in everyone's mind, racism has always been worse. It's always been systemic. It's always been, it's life or death. And so fatness is becoming on people's radar as being, hey, well, maybe it's, you know, maybe it's a form of racism, which it definitely is. But my proximity to whiteness has also given me a voice and a platform and acknowledgement. And like Emma said, I was valued for my mind. You know, I was a very competent child. I was very organized. I was always the child that was called to help whenever a grown-up needed help. So that is what I built my self-esteem on. And so people calling me fat or using that word, I just dealt with it. Like I could go into who said what, when, but I think it's just, we all deal with it. We all know what happens. I thankfully was not sexually assaulted. I was not targeted racially. I escaped unscathed, but I think a lot of that had to do with my hard exterior that I had to put on at a very early age. People knew, don't mess with Mel because she's not going to take your shit. And so that's who I became. And having my kids and going through, you know, motherhood and all of that, I just became really angry that was the life that I had to live in order to, you know, eventually step into my power. And I really felt like I needed to change all that. As a parent, you always think I'm doing this for my kids, but it has been so much more for me now that I've gone through this journey. And ultimately, yes, they're benefiting. They have a whole mother who loves themselves and who can love them properly and support them properly. I'm not on a slim fast diet. I'm not, you know, chasing the next weight loss drug, like all of my relatives were back in the day. So they get to have all of me. And I also have the benefit of now having a spouse that just loves me for me. My first relationship, I thought that if I could change my body and be small enough, he'd love me more. Ultimately, that never works because you can't make yourself smaller and love yourself more. It's completely the opposite. You can't shame yourself into loving yourself. So building this life for myself, I felt like I needed an outlet for my art, and I needed it to be bigger than I was. Every corporate job I'd ever had, I always felt like I was just working for one man's paycheck. And it didn't benefit enough people. And so I just started down this path, and it just felt like the right thing to do. So I absorbed all of these other fat activists' words and their love and all of the wonderful things that they've given to us. And it's changed my life. And actually, the biggest aha moment, I suppose you could say, is when I was scrolling social media, and because I curate my feeds, I had this beautiful piece of art pop up, and I think this was back in like 2018, and it said, "You're allowed to stay fat." That had never been communicated to me before. That you are allowed, without shame, without any other caveat, stay fat, regardless of your health or any of it. And it just kind of, I felt this like explosion in my heart, and it just seeped through my body. And I was on the couch beside my husband. I started to cry, and he's like, "What is wrong with you?" And I'm like, I can just be fat and be okay with that. And it's never occurred to me. And he was like, "Yeah, of course you can. What's wrong with that?" And so then I just kind of started expanding my boudoir photography to be more inclusive. I got, you know, rid of all of the furniture that didn't support fat bodies. I extended my wardrobe that was in the studio to be more than just what I could find, you know, on the rack, so that I could support all of those bodies. And it just feels so good. I don't want to stop. But with that, I'll stop.
Oh, Mel, yay. Oh, both of you. I love you so much. We had so much fun in our day together. And no, a cat showed up. Yay. Hello, kitty. Oh, you're both so incredible. And I want to go into the boudoir experience, because as I was preparing with, like, I got a manicure, a pedicure, a facial, and a massage. And so, because I was like, why not just treat myself? Plus, Mel told me I should. So who am I to say, you can't say no to Mel.
Daddy Mel told you to. Now you have to.
That's it. A week of pampering. And so I was telling, you know, the different people that were working on my body, what I was doing, and every single one of them said, "Oh, that's amazing. It's so cool you're doing this. I could never do it. I'm not confident enough." And they had a wide spectrum of bodies, from thin to fat. And every single one of them said the same thing. And it hurt my heart, because I thought, no. Like, you're kind of missing the point. The point in it isn't, I think, in any part of our lives, to have the confidence first and then do it. We actually build the confidence as we do it. It's the, you know, we kind of, that's, so... I think it'd be really interesting for people listening who've never done a boudoir shot, photo shoot, or had that experience, to kind of walk them through what it's like, and hopefully invite them into a moment of bravery and courage, and possibly get one. Because waiting for confidence first means you won't ever do anything, because confidence builds by actually doing it. So I showed up. So nervous, so excited. And I will say, so this is my second boudoir shot. The first one I did probably like 4 or 5 years ago, maybe longer now, actually. Actually, I think it was closer to 7 or 8 years ago. And it was very, it was beautiful experience. It was not of, it, the person was body positive. I would not say, I think they knew about fatness, but it wasn't like your studio, Mel and Emma. It wasn't like your approach, where everything was designed to be body inclusive. So, but I think at that time, I was still kind of in the beginning of my body positive to fat liberation journey. So I don't think I really knew much different. And it was a really wonderful experience. I did the lingerie. I had beautiful photos. I think there's some, if people go back, you know, 8 years on my Instagram, there are some photos there from it. But for this one, I really wanted to challenge myself. So my goal, and I think I said this in my paperwork, was I really want to be nude. Like, for me, that felt like the stretch in this experience. And I'm always excited to stretch whenever I do new things. And so I was pretty nervous about that. And we walk into this beautiful home. The whole kind of front main part of the house is Mel's studio, with all these different rooms, like three rooms, but also the hallway ends up being a bit of a room too, are staged with different moods and different gorgeous, what do we call it? like you set the scene. What is that setting?
A set.
A set. Yeah, it's a set. And then we just sat and chatted for a bit. Emma started working on my hair and makeup. We got really clear about what the vibe was. And I just want to share with everyone that we decided the vibe would be Fat Aphrodite, which tickles me still. Fat Aphrodite, I'm like, that is the vibe. I totally want to be in that energy. I'm going to stop at this point, and maybe we'll do it stage by stage, but in the like the arrival of the person, in the starting to get them like warmed up and kind of getting them into what this experience is about to be, Emma and Mel, I'd love to hear from you. What's going through your minds? How are you actually supporting the person sitting in the chair in front of you? Because I know you were both doing a whole lot of stuff in the background, energetically, physically, emotionally, to have me feel really comfortable because I could feel it. And I would love to just like surface that because I don't know if people really get how much goes into creating safe as possible spaces. It is a whole art form in and of itself. And you both did it so beautifully. So Mel, from your perspective as the photographer, like what's your goal in that kind of like entry into the space moments?
I think maybe it feels more complicated than it really is. I have always been, you know, the motto is treat everyone as you would want to be treated. And if I was entering into a space where I felt potentially vulnerable, I knew that I was going to be exposing my body or parts of my past or, you know, talking about things that were sensitive, I would want to know that the person sitting across from me was going to respect me, was going to take time and be gentle and honor my path and understand that it's not about them, that it's about me. And so when you come to the studio, and I think maybe that's why when Emma and I get together, just the two of us, we kind of, like she said, go off. Like, we've got all of these things we need to talk about because we don't bring our ideas to the studio about how the world should change. We bring our heart-centered energy to supporting this single person in front of us, whether it's, you know, making their vision come to life or setting the stage so that they can have an opportunity to show parts of themselves to a person that they've never felt safe doing before. Or like I always know in the back of my mind that this person's story, I'm only getting a tiny sliver of what that is. And so when it comes to our sexuality and our sensuality, that is the rawest parts of ourselves. That is the part that is so easily damaged. So I think part of it is just who Emma is and who I am. We honor that. We're not, you know, we were never the mean girls in high school. We didn't know how to do that. We were the ones that were like, how can I help you? How can I support you? And so that's just kind of transitioned really well into being able to support someone that comes into the studio. And so, it's really just authenticity and having a heart-centered approach and knowing that, you know, the person sitting in front of you, could have been sexually assaulted last week. You don't know. And so you have to kind of enter every interaction with that open heart, open mind, and make sure people feel respected, like I said, and honored.
Yeah, yeah. And I felt that. I definitely felt that. And also, too, like you said, almost all the pre-work around making sure the furniture is supportive to different bodies, making sure the clothing, like, oh, my God, I had so much fun playing in your clothing. I was like, oh, maybe I should wear this or this. And I literally thought, because I even told you before, I was like, I'm not going to bring anything. I'm just going to be naked the whole time. But then I saw all your beautiful things and I was like, oh, no. There is also like walking into a space that has been curated for my body, and that I was able to access everything I wanted to access. So it was really, yeah, I feel like you can tell there's so much thought put into the creation of the space and, you know, welcoming people in when you're right. We only know a little bit about them in that moment. Yeah. Emma, what about you? What's it like for you? Because I feel like you're the superstar at the beginning as you're doing the hair and makeup, and Mel is like setting all the things up. And then it switches into Mel becomes like the focus and like the director, but then you're still the cheerleader. You guys have such a fun dynamic. So if you're Mel, that first kind of hour where you're like zhuzhing and, you know, doing the hair and makeup piece, what's that like for you? Like, what do you think about? What's your goal in those moments?
So for me, I think this is why we have a really good dynamic between Mel and myself when it comes to creating a safe, happy, comfortable environment for when people step in for the first time, is that he comes from the aspect of photography for sure, as well as, I would say fat positivity and fat neutrality, where whatever you're reading at the time, she will go off of. Because you know what? The other thing too about fat bottoms, which we've all been a part of, I think, is we have bad days too. We have days where we're like, I don't want my tummy to show. I don't want this showing. And we work around that. And Mel's really good at making people feel comfortable in that setting. And if they don't want to talk with me, we don't talk about it. It's that simple. This doesn't have to be discussed. So she comes at it, I think, more from that standpoint, where I come from it of a space of, I've been in your shoes. I try to kind of like big sister you into it, where I'm like, you're going to look so hot. You're going to look so good. You're going to feel amazing. And just making sure that you feel 100% comfortable. And you can tell me things that maybe you may not tell Mel, because I am doing hair and makeup. Hair and makeup for, I think, a lot of women is such like a bonded safe space where it's our get up and go in the morning. It's our self-care time. It's our thing that we maybe did with our mom or our sisters, or before getting ready to go out for a big night, your girlfriends come over and you do each other's hair and makeup typically. So I think that's where I come from, is how are you feeling? How can we make this better for you, if anything? And talk to me about your day. How are things going outside of what's happening right now? I think when I first came to Mel, I was extremely nervous. I was so scared because I didn't know what to expect. And even though she's so good about sending, you know, a guide for you and having things available online and having a social media presence, you're also still looking at those pictures going, I'm not that. I can't turn into that. That's not me. And that's the whole point, is that's not supposed to be you. You can be whoever you want to be in that space. So I think I come at it from more of like you said, like a cheerleader, big sister, where I'm just like, you know, let's talk about your skin. Let's talk about what makes you feel sexy. What makes you feel good about yourself? You know, are you someone who likes to have a lot more on the eyes? Do you like a bolder lip? What's your like one thing that you have to put on in the morning before you leave? For me, it's eyebrows. If my eyebrows are not done, I can't move on with my day. For some people, it's a bold lipstick, it's a blush, it's something. So I think that's kind of where I get comfortable with you, is I just try to make sure that you feel Whereas I think Mel makes you feel comfortable and respected and worthy in her space, I am more along the lines of what do you need to feel good right now? If that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. Well, and it's why you're such a good team together, because this whole range of needs and comfort get met between the two of you. I really felt that the whole time. And we were like, we were just like talking the whole time. And it really, I had just met you, but I was like, I'm hanging out with my best girls right now. Like, it was so fun. And I loved your questions, Emma, about for me, for the makeup. You're like, what do you need? I'm like, I don't know. Like, you just do whatever. You just do you. I love my approach as I've gotten older for things where other people are the geniuses, is to just be like, you're the artist. You tell me. And then you did. And you just took it.
By the way, it's super great and super terrifying for me.
I do.
Is anyone listening here who is going into a boudoir session, don't say do whatever you want and give me zero zero feedback.
I'm sorry, Emma. I'm sorry. But I was really open. I feel like once we figured out Fat Aphrodite, it was like, oh, that's what this is.
Oh, as soon as you mentioned that, I went glowy skin, big lashes, super like, you know, just hold back makeup. Let's have your natural texture of your hair. Like everything that's natural, but beautiful and shiny and pretty, that's what's going to happen today.
Yeah. And it did happen. I mean, the photos are just beyond stunning. Like what ended up happening. I'm just so amazed by it.
Can I talk a little bit for a second about hair and makeup? Because I have gotten some pushback. Not from my clients, but from people that tell me makeup isn't body positive. And well, because you're altering your appearance. And to them, I say, so what? It's body liberation, not body positivity. When my clients come to the studio, they come because they want to look a certain way. They tell us how they want to look. And if we can do that with makeup, we absolutely will. This isn't a plastic surgeon's office. this is not Weight Watchers meeting. This is what can we do that is positive for you to make you look and feel your best so that when you see your images, you are blown away by how beautiful you are. And that's why hair and makeup is included in all of my packages. If you don't want it, that's fine. You're going to have a slightly different experience because then you won't have that chitty chat with Emma at the start. That is absolutely an option because that's the whole point of body liberation. You do what you want to do. But that's why we have hair and makeup. And it actually is really important to me as an artist because my face was one of my first canvases where I would explore with color and all of that. And Emma can probably speak to that too. You learn, how you feel about yourself sitting in front of that makeup mirror. So that's part of the reason that that's included in this boudoir experience.
And I think to go off of that, if you don't mind, I think to go off of that as well, a lot of people, when they sit in the chair for hair and makeup, think, okay, I have to have the lashes. I have to have contour. I have to have blush. I have to this and this and this and this and that. And that's not the way that I do hair and makeup, especially in this space. If you are somebody who has textured skin and you want it covered that day, we will make that happen. If you are somebody who wants to be completely pulled back and wants the lightest makeup, maybe you're even a little bit afraid of wearing makeup. It's not something you feel comfortable in. There's no reason we can't go with a really good moisturizer and give you like a nice facial massage as well as like a lip gloss and like, you know what I mean? There's other ways of doing makeup that's not the Malibu Barbie experience. You know what I mean? I think a lot of people get sidetracked by that or maybe feel uncomfortable with asking for what they want. And if you're somebody who knows that you don't feel comfortable with XYZ, tell us. We would rather hear it now than have to worry about how you're feeling later because you didn't say something.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I thank you, both of you, for adding to that conversation. I think those are both really important points and speak to like the ethos of what both of you do as professionals, the, you know, consent, the conversation piece, making, you know, checking in. It's all there as so important to what you do. So great. So then we moved into starting to take the photo. Oh my gosh. And this was the part that the whole photo shoot, I felt very in my body. I just want to back up for a second and say, Mel, you did such a great job. Emma alluded to this of like sending emails like a couple weeks in advance, a week in advance, a couple days before, the day of, that were so reassuring. And also like, hey, you might want to think about doing these things. And one of the things you suggested that we do or that I do was to stand in front of the mirror and look at my body and, you know, kind of try different physical positions. And I loved that you ask that. I think that's such an important piece. And so I kind of always do that, but I think I did it like when I get out of the shower and I'm naked, like I look at myself in the mirror. I've done that for years now. Again, it was a kind of a cultivated practice as part of my body liberation journey. But I think like I haven't like turned around and like looked at my bum bum and like, you know, there are all these like little things that I was like, oh, I think I've gotten a little complacent with some of this. So it encouraged me to actually look at my body with a little more intentionality, which I really appreciated. But the hardest thing for me, and I know I kept laughing and I was telling you guys, I'm like, how do I like move my hands? And what are my hands supposed to do? I know what my boobs are going to do. I know what my body's going to do, but what do I do with these hands? And it was so like, I almost feel like I want to like come back after I've practiced hand on body motion or something, because that was for me the hardest part. And at the same time, both of you were so great at directing, like, and you would model it, Mel. You would be like, okay, I'm thinking this pose, and you would model it. And then so I could see it. And then Emma would jump in and be like, oh yeah, I like to think of like, you know, this and putting my finger here on my face and da da. So you were both really helpful during the session. So I think it's helped me from not getting too much in my head. Especially when I was, you know, showing quite a bit. The first shot I did a white shirt kind of open, and we crafted a whole persona. Thank you. I think people find this hilarious because I was like, I don't know how to get into this. And Emma's like, here's the deal. Here's who you are. So I'm like lying on this gorgeous couch, actually where Mel is sitting right now, for those of you watching this on YouTube. I was kind of like sideways, like on my side, kind of like, you know, just kind of lying there. And Mel said, here's the deal. Your husband is like a super rock star who's just coming back from tour, and you are ready to welcome him home. And I'm like, oh, got it. And like, I was like, yes, boobies out, back arched, legs long. And I was like, yeah, like I just needed that little something to kind of get into my body even further. And that I love that you helped me get there. Because then it started to, I feel that it is hard to not get into your head in that moment and try, because I was also like, I'm trying to make this perfect for Mel. And then, and you guys saw that without me even saying it and talked me through it, saying, no, the whole thing is you just keep moving. I'm going to take hundreds of photos and I promise you amazing ones will show up. So then I was like, oh, Mel's fine. I don't need to caretake her, because I also am a bit of a helper. I'm like, let me take care of Mel. Let me take care of Emma. No. I'm just supposed to be there, like owning my own space. And so it just, we started there and we moved through a whole bunch of different sets and not costumes, although kind of costumey. Different pieces. And then I was like, okay, I think I'm ready to be nude now. And we did the most gorgeous naked shots that with the lighting, and oh my God, they're just, honestly, they're works of art. And may I just say, and then I'll stop talking, because I just loved this experience so much. I want to take all of those photos and just share them with the world, because I think they are so artistic and so beautiful. And at the same time, I'm so saddened that these photos, like especially the nude ones, would be like that. I'm always amazed, like, how can people look at bodies and just not see all the gorgeousness? How could anything be wrong with this body in all its fat glory? Like, I'm really feeling that tension after seeing the photos, and kind of sad for our world. But I have these gorgeous photos, and it changed the way I look at my body. I see it now really, truly as a work of art. And your photography, and Emma, the way you did all the pieces of it, the hair and makeup and your presence, like, just, it really, I have a different way of looking at my body, and I think other bodies now from that experience. So thank you so much.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. And it's actually one of my driving forces. When I see fat bodies in the media, when I see fat bodies, even in, you know, if you're looking at a catalog, figuring out how to draw, you know, a fat body, and they just plunk them down. Or they pinch them, or they, you know, cut their heads off so they're not people anymore. This is how fat bodies are portrayed. I want to see fat bodies loving themselves. I want to see fat bodies being glorious. I want to see fat bodies, you know, exuding that Aphrodite goddess feeling. And I think that our practice of allowing thin bodies to do that, but neglecting to acknowledge that fat bodies are human too, and we deserve pleasure, and we can get it for ourselves, and we are worthy of it, comes down to that. You know, like, we need to see other people in fat bodies loving themselves. And then, you know, the little fat girls coming up will know that that is for them. That is available. That is an option. You don't have to change to find love. You don't have to change to love yourself. You know, it's something that every human being should have access to.
So if I can go off of that for a second. So I actually had a real life experience about exactly what you're speaking to now. And it was something that I think you don't realize that sometimes your presence is enough. You can say nothing and say everything at the same time. And especially in these photos, it comes across the same way. So for myself, I remember it was like a couple of years ago, I was on the beach in a bikini, mind you, which I was like, hell to the yeah, I was feeling myself. And it was a public beach. I wasn't indecent or anything like that, but I was hanging out with my friends and having a good time. And even an older woman and her granddaughter, both of bigger bodies, walked past me, and the grandmother looked at me and said, I love your swimsuit. You look so happy. And that was enough. For me to just be there was enough. And it's the same thing with these photos. I had the exact same experience that you're talking about, Sophia. Unfortunately, mine even comes from my family. So my family, a lot of the time, doesn't even know that I do boudoir. So when I post mine, because I'm sorry, it's my social media, I will post my booty wherever I feel. You signed up for this experience when you became my friend. That's how I am now. So whenever I post my photos, which the ones that I post because of social media and the restrictions, obviously don't show boobs, don't show bum, don't show anything that could be considered indecent, which is ridiculous. But I still to this day have to block family members because I was asked to by another family member the first time I posted 7 years ago. That's still a thing that still comes up, and I still have to mentally note to do that every time.
Yeah, right? I had that experience with my first boudoir. My dad called me out of the blue, and he never calls. I was like, is everything okay? And he said, I heard you're going to be doing a photo shoot where you're going to not be wearing many clothes, and don't post those online. Don't you know the internet is forever? And I was just like, what? What? Like, it was such a weird. And of course, we started yelling and screaming at each other. And I hung up and I was like, no, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want. But it was so shocking to me because I'm like, okay, if my thin sister posts photos in a bikini, that's okay. But I'm in like quite not super revealing lingerie and that's not okay. And I just, it really, that was, again, this is kind of, that was at the beginning of my journey towards fat liberation. And it was such a moment for me of, oh, right, this is going to piss off a lot of people based on their own conscious and unconscious bias. And I still get to do what I want because I'm a grown up and I'm not dependent on these people. I get to do what I want. And like, for me, my top value is freedom. So that was such like a big moment for me to be like, oh yeah, I get to do what I want anyway. And so that's, I really feel that, Emma.
I think it even reflects into like body adornment.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like me with like my nose piercing, I have piercings here. I have like a whole sleeve of tattoos. Every time I got a tattoo, every time I got a piercing for myself, because I love my body enough that I want all of this on me, every person in my family who felt that way about boudoir also told me the same thing about my tattoos, where they're like, why are you doing that to yourself? I don't understand why you would do that. It's like, because I love this body that I'm in and I want to show it off. Like, it makes me feel good. Why are you uncomfortable because this part of me is showing, or why, like, my little tiny bit here is showing. I think it's a you problem.
Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah, I love that. And that the empowerment of choosing your own path, I think, is such a big deal. Yeah. So Mel, I want to ask you, and I'm curious because I know you've thought of some, but you've got some things that you want to share. What's it like for you taking someone, whether it's me, if you want to talk about my experience, I'm happy to share, or others, like, through this experience as they slowly over the, you know, couple of hours get more and more comfortable, start to play more? Like, what's that like for you? What do you love about it? What's challenging about it? What do you want to say about your process? Because it is so beautifully done. And also, can I just say too, like, some of my favorite moments, Mel, were like, I need the ladder. And then the ladder, Emma grabs the ladder, and then Emma, and then, like, Mel's like up a ladder, you know, on me. It was like, oh, I'm in like zone of genius moment with this person who has a vision, and I am the goddess Aphrodite. Like, it was just like so pro at the same time. And I just, like, for the sake of art, it felt like I was part of making art, which I was, but I don't know. There was something about the way you do it where I was like, I'm an art piece. I love it.
I don't know what it is, but every time we get into those moments, because there wasn't a me before me, Mel had to do this all on her own, unfortunately. So every time she's like, I need a ladder. All I can think of is from Emperor's New Groove, Yzma and Kronk, where she goes, Kronk, pull the lever. And she goes, Kronk, like every time.
Well, I'd love to say there's some kind of thought process, but there isn't. It's really just I'm in the moment and I'm creating, and you are my medium, and maybe that's why you just get swept up in it, because, you know, basically I have the paintbrush and you're my paint, and we're just making beautiful shapes and beautiful things happen. So I've learned now that because I have Emma beside me, I can't just say in my head, I need a ladder. So basically all of my thoughts now come out of my mouth, because she needs to be aware of what's going on and what's happening. And we don't slow down. Like, you saw how fast we work, and we have to do that because we want to make sure that you're not sitting there getting tired or getting bored, or, you know, losing whatever, you know, emotion or momentum you've built up to that point. So we kind of just have to keep moving through the studio. And normally the client will tire out before we do. And man, were you a rock star? You just powered through.
I said you went longer than I do, and I'm usually there most of the day.
Yeah, I do. I have stamina.
You know, we can crash after, but we need to make sure that you still have enough energy to drive home. So yeah, it's just, I just do the next right thing. And I'm just looking to make shapes and make, you know, beautiful light hit your body. And to me, it's a lot of it's instinctual because of my background in studying art and, you know, ancient pieces of art and statues and all of that. And that's just what comes out. I wish I could say there's a formula, but there really isn't, as Emma can attest to. I'm just kind of like here, there, and everywhere.
I love it. Yeah. It felt very intuitional and focused. And I feel like that's, I'm going to use a coaching term, that's what we would call like unconscious competence, where you just know what you're doing and it just flows through you. You know, it's like state of flow, which is amazing.
Well, and I know that there are some photographers that have, you know, this is my flow. These are the poses we're going to do in this order, and this is how it's going to work. And you end up with the same pictures every single time. And so there's no originality. There's no collaboration between the photographer and the client. And to me, that's what makes everyone's images so beautiful and unique, is that I'll see you do something and I'll be like, whoa, stop right there. That's what we need. And then we'll adjust whatever we need to adjust to make it, you know, over the top beautiful. But I wouldn't have gotten that if I wasn't looking at your body and how it naturally moved, so that I could capture your natural essence. And I've had I had cousins come in, and I don't normally do two sessions in a day, but they really wanted to have, you know, their sessions on the same day so they could cheer each other on. And we got halfway through the second one, and she said, how come we haven't done any of the same poses that my cousin did? And I said, because we did those already, and that's not what your body's doing. We're doing something else. If there was something, you know, that you saw that you really wanted to repeat, we can try, but it's not going to look the same because you're you and she's her. And so that's kind of just how, and maybe it makes it more difficult for Emma to keep up because I'm like, she's seeing this creativity happen and she's like, whoa, but you know, she's really intuitive too. And like I said to her after your shoot, I said, I didn't even know you were there half the time, which is a sign of her knowing where to be when. Needing to tell her, you know, to move out of the way or whatever, just as a testament to, you know, her intuitiveness as well.
But I think that the reason why we are that way, because she also is really good about not getting in my way when I'm doing hair and makeup or if I need to touch up or anything like that. She'll never stop me, which can be a blessing and a curse sometimes, because sometimes she really should be like, you need to go over there. But I think the reason that we're so good at, one, reading each other, and two, communicating so well when we need or don't need something, is because we have too much respect for each other to do the opposite. We both have way too much love and respect for what the other person does, as well as I feel like, in a sense, I mean, I know Mel's been doing her craft a lot longer than I've been doing mine. But I think in a sense as well, we both saw each other when we were just starting kind of, or just starting to build what we currently have. And we would protect each other from anything in a heartbeat because of that. So with that being said, we want to make sure that you have the most flawless time. If there is an issue, you don't see it or you don't know it's happening. And that's why sometimes it won't even be pull the lever crunk. It'll be, she just looked at me and I'm like, yep, on the way.
Yeah, it's a really fun dynamic to be part of. I mean, I loved it. And I also want to highlight too, just for people listening, if you are in the Ontario area and want to work with Mel and Emma, please do. Or if you want to travel, I mean, they're worth it 100%. But if people are thinking about looking for their own, like, you know, their local, boudoir photographer, I would say, and then I'm going to ask both of you what other people, what they should look for. But I would say one of the things that I really appreciated was because you are both fat positive, because you are both fat, as am I, you were able, like there were things I was like, oh, I don't think my body can do this, but what could we do differently? And you'd be like, oh, well, we could do this differently. Like you knew how to work with my fat body. Whereas, for example, when I've done yoga classes with non-fat instructors and I'm like, I need an accommodation. They come over, people come over, look at me, like scan my body up and down and go, huh? And I'm like, that's not helpful in this moment. And like, they just don't know what to do with my body. Whereas both of you were like, oh, okay, so try this, or can you do this? And what about this? Like, you know how to work with different bodies. And it changed the experience because I never had to worry that my body was going to be an inconvenience or an obstacle or a problem, like so many of us feel the moment we leave our homes. And I just, that meant so much to me, that I felt so safe. I felt so taken care of. I also too, there was a humor in it too. Cause remember Mel, we were like doing some poses on the bed on these gorgeous like red satin sheets. And we were joking about like, okay, I'm just going to like jump and then like wiggle. And like, there's like nothing glamorous about it. Or just let me, or even if I was on the floor, we were on the floor and you were modeling, like, I think you joked. You're like, if your husband tries to help you up, you're like, no, hang on. Let me just like, I'm going to like find my way up. And I was like, that's what I do too. So there was just a real comfort being in the presence of other fat bodies and able to move my body in whatever way felt good. And it didn't have to be a certain thing or a certain way. And that was huge. I don't think I've ever been in such a safe body space before. And again, and I'm like nude, right? So like my boobs are like flapping around and my bum is out and I'm like so aware of my belly and none of that mattered. I was like, oh, this is great. I can just be in my full body and move it around the way that works for me. And that was really like, again, life-changing. That's a life-changing experience.
It's like giving birth. You know you can do it until you did it.
Yeah. I love it. What else do you want to share? What else feels important to share with people listening? Mel, we'll start with you. What do you want people to know?
I didn't know that question was coming.
Oh, okay. You can say anything you want. What's in your notes that you haven't shared that you want to share?
I think that I'd like to talk a little bit about social media and fat bodies and how them existing is seen as perverse, and they're either taking up society thinks they're either taking up too much space or they're being fetishized, and there's no in between. And I really feel that each individual person, whether they come to see me or not, you can come to see me and I'll help. But we all need to kind of do a little bit of work around that and process our own body issues so that we can just live and let live. And that we need to acknowledge that a fat person having boudoir photos does not mean we're turning our bodies into objects. It means we are asking for the same life experience that anyone else has access to. And just living in a fat body shouldn't exclude us from these experiences. And for me, that is what my life up until now has been, is a series of exclusions. You know, I can't fit on the airplane seat with a regular seatbelt. I can't go on the roller coaster ride with my kid. You know, I can't sit in the chairs at the school gymnasium and watch my kids' Christmas play. So all of these places that I'm excluded from, I think if everyone in all bodies were to take a look at that and see who's not here and how can we make it so that they can be, the world would just open up in such a beautiful way, and everyone would have access to that feeling that you had, Sophia, when you were here in the studio. And it breaks my heart that there are people living their lives who can't do those little things that just make us feel human and alive. And the pursuit of joy and pleasure shouldn't be dictated by your shape, your ability, any of it. And I know that there are some in Canada, there are some steps being taken as far as inclusion goes, and it's a beautiful thing to see. Even in my own studio, I used to have a ramp, you know, so people in wheelchairs could come in, and it needs to be replaced, and so it's not safe anymore. So in the spring, we're going to be doing a new ramp at the front of the house so that you don't have to go to the back. All of those little things matter. And if it's not top of mind, I think we're missing the opportunity to have people in the room that add so much more value and diversity that we're missing out on.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Mel, yes. I love that you said that. Thank you.
If I could even talk about that for a second, because that just kind of made me think of something. I think a lot of people don't understand unless they've been in or with somebody who openly speaks about the body types that we have. For instance, my partner is a straight size. And so he didn't understand a lot of the things that I have to think of before going somewhere or doing something. Something as simple as we were going to a hockey game and I got tickets. We were really excited. And right before I left, I went, what if I don't fit in the seat? That's a regular occurrence in our brains that we think of, and we shouldn't have to think of it. And he goes, well, what did you do before? And I'm like, I've gotten floor seats because then I don't have to sit. These are things that we have to think of before we leave the house, because it's a normal occurrence in our brains that this world isn't built for us. Like, how sad is that? And I think it goes to a lot of what Mel said, where, and same with you, Sophia, where our voices have been shut down for so long by so many people that now we have a hard time speaking up about regular things, not things that create a conflict or are an issue, but things like what I just said about a stadium seat. Right? Like, these are things that we should be able to talk about. And then this is why I'm so glad you have your podcast, because it brings light to regular occurrences in our daily lives. Like going to a boudoir shoot. Why can't you go to a boudoir shoot as a 5'6"? Why the heck not? If anything, you should be more able to go than everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. It's so true. And that's why I just was so in awe and honored to be able to have this experience with you both and to see how, in very practical and considered ways, you make this a fat positive experience. And it's just, it's really, really special what you do. And I'm so grateful to have been able to experience it. I am going to share some of the photos. I totally want to just like break the algorithm and like share all, but I will share the ones that are a little more, you know, that won't break, I guess, community guidelines, blah, blah.
Well, I can set up a password protected gallery if you want to share that with anybody. And then you can do that too. Maybe someone that is on Patreon, you can like,
there you go.
I'm going to pay you to see your photos.
I love it. Yeah. Right? Right? My last question for guests is always about joy. And I feel like we've touched on things that bring us joy, but I do want to ask each of you, how do you stay connected to joy yourselves? Like what, especially in the work that you both do, which is joyful work. I know you both are deeply joyful at the work that you get to do. It feels very on purpose work for you. And also, it's hard. It's hard living in the world as a fat person. It's hard holding space for others all day, which is what you both do. So how do you care for yourself when it comes to joy? Emma, you want to start?
Sure. I'm like, that's a loaded question the best way. I think for me, I'm really on top of, for my own mental health, I have a mental health journal that I write in all the time. And it can be something as simple as, today sucked. And here's why. Or I had a really good day and this is why. As well as I make time once in every day to do something that feeds me. So, sometimes for me, I have a hard relationship with the gym. I mean, who doesn't? But for me, I have been doing more purposeful workouts for Fat Body. That has made me feel super strong and super capable, which makes me feel really good. And then within my work, finding joy. Honestly, and I know Mel's going to say the same thing, because we always say the same thing every single time when we talk about it. For me, the joy is giving to somebody. I'm so thankful that my job has never felt like a job. It's always felt like a vocation or something that I was meant to be doing. So when I make somebody feel so good about themselves and they tell me, like, I've had people cry in my chair. I've had people... you know, actually Mel was one of them. It was really funny. When she first saw her hair, she went, oh! So that experience as well, like those all bring me so much comfort and happiness and joy, because I feel like my two hands made that. I made someone feel so good about themselves that they should feel that good about themselves no matter what. So I think that's where I find mine.
Oh, I love that. Thank you, Emma. Beautiful. And I don't know if you know about Body Positive Fitness, but they're a great, I had their founder on the podcast, and that's who I do movement with, is they do, I do it virtually. They do virtual, It's so good. A lot of the instructors are bigger bodied people and lots of accommodation. I always shout them out because I think they've got such a great, great offering. Like last night I did body pump and then tonight I'm doing Zumba and like, it's just, and then they've got like different yogas and anyway, it's a great place. So I'm going to link in the show notes if anyone's interested because virtual, you can do it from anywhere, but definitely, yeah, I find they've really helped me change my relationship to movement and physicality in the body that I am now, which is very different than the body when I was like an athlete, basically. So yeah, I'm a big fan of them.
Love that.
Thank you. Mel, what about you? How do you stay connected to joy?
Well, that's a tough one. I'm a creature of habit. So we have our routine, which is also necessary having three kids, two of them being neuroatypical. Things need to be predictable around here. So we have our rituals that we go through on a daily basis. You know, we greet each other at the door. You know, we have different steps that we have to do to make sure we're taking care of each other. And those things are, I have to lead those things. So having those rituals in my life, keeps me very grounded and it allows me to feel safe in my home. And when you feel safe, you open yourself up to whoever you're naturally going to be. And to me, that's being creative. So that allows me the mental space and the time to paint or draw or, you know, photograph things other than women and just stay really connected to that artistic side of myself. And, also, when I'm busy in the studio, that's actually when I am the most joyful. When I have a backlog of images that I need to edit, I know I can escape into that. And that brings me a lot of joy too. I know that's the part of the job that a lot of photographers hate. To me, it's just as joyful as the photography work itself. It's an extension of that because then I get to relive that, you know, caterpillar to butterfly moment that happens with every single client. And actually Emma was asking me about my boundaries and how do you protect your boundaries in the studio? Because people are coming in with all kinds of preconceived ideas of what you do and how you're going to do it. And, because I have my systems in place, who I am and my parameters are pretty clear up front. You know, you came to the studio and I hope you already knew who I was and what I was going to be doing for you and what that was going to look like. And so because we have that in place, I can then just enjoy the time with you. And for me, especially when I first started out doing boudoir photography, it was a healing that happened every single time for myself. Seeing a woman in front of me with, you know, this body part or that body part or whatever that looked like mine, I saw her learn to love and lean into that. And so then I started to learn to love and lean into my own, you know, imperfections. And that, you know, it's just like a circle of joy. It just keeps coming back around.
Oh, that's beautiful, Mel. Thank you. Oh, you two are some of my favorite people. I am so grateful I got to spend time with you, like a whole day with you last week, and that you both agreed to come and share the experience of yourselves and what you do with everyone who's listening. It's just, whenever I feel deeply distressed about the state of the world, which is most of the time, I think about a conversation like this. And I was like, here are people who every day wake up and are just by their presence, by how they approach their work, how they interact with other people with a lot of consciousness, a lot of purpose around equality, social justice, equity, all that good stuff, are changing their circle. And that has to have ripple effects. And I have to believe that that is what is going to have big impact and hopefully eventually save us before we burn in the flames. So thank you, right? So
I can go to back church.
Yeah. So thank you for doing the work that you do. It is hugely impactful. And I'm so grateful that you are out in the world doing it and that you came to talk about it. So thank you both.
Thank you for having us. Honestly, I just feel like I got to be like the bonus mom today. So I just got to like tell everybody that they're awesome and tell everybody that they're great and that they deserve health, wealth, and happiness.
Yes, right? All right, lovelies. Thank you. Before we go, I'd like to read a poem because poetry can reach our hearts in a different way. Poems can have us feel in a different way. And that's what this podcast is all about. Expanding our hearts, deepening our empathy, and inviting in joy. So each week, you get a new poem. I've chosen the poem called A Brief Meditation on Breath by Yesenia Montilla for this episode with Mel and Emma, because there's so much tension between being present in the body and moving our bodies through the world in this poem. And that theme certainly showed up in this episode and really in every episode where we're having conversations about living in marginalized bodies. Content note for this poem, there is racialized violence, mention of death, and a dead body. Here it is, A Brief Meditation on Breath. I have diver's lungs from holding my breath for so long. I promise you I'm not trying to break a record. Sometimes I just forget to exhale. My shoulders held tightly near my neck. I am a ball of tense living, a tumbleweed with steel-toed boots. I can't remember the last time I felt light as a dandelion. I can't remember the last time I took the sweetness in and my diaphragm expanded into song. They tell me breathing is everything, meaning if I breathe right, I can live to be ancient. I'll grow a soft, furry tail or be telekinetic, something powerful enough to heal the world. I swear I thought the last time I'd think of death with breath was that balmy day in July when the cops became a raging fire and sucked the breath out of Garner. But yesterday I walked 38 blocks to my father's house with a mask over my nose and mouth, the sweat dripping off my chin only to get caught in fabric and pool up like rain. And I inhaled small spurts of me, little particles of my DNA. I took into body my own self and thought I'd die from so much exposure to my own bereavement. They're saying the virus takes your breath away, not like a mother's love or like a good kiss from your lover's soft mouth, but like the police, it can kill you fast or slow, dealer's choice. A pallbearer carrying your body without a casket. They say it's so contagious it could be quite breathtaking. So persistent it might as well be breathing down your neck. Thank you for joining me today. My hope is that you're feeling a little less alone and a little more seen. So until the next episode, you can find me on Instagram at fatjoy.life. On YouTube at youtube.com/@fatjoy and on Substack at fatjoy.substack.com. And please do check out the episode notes for how you can connect with my amazing guest and for the links to the poem. All right, lovely, I am sending you off with my best wishes for an abundantly fat joy day, and we'll talk again soon.